This is a Battle of Britain podcast from the Royal Air Force Museum.
Fighter aircraft of the Battle of Britain. The Battle of Britain pitted the first generation of the world's monoplane fighters against each other and against ground attack and bomber aircraft. It was therefore the first major battle in the skies. As the first victory against the Nazi war machine, the Battle of Britain is celebrated and debated, and one topic for debate is which aircraft was superior. There's not really a simple answer to that question, as a great deal of the outcome depended on the experience of the pilot and plenty of other factors, not least weather conditions, quality of intelligence information, and luck. In this podcast, we take a look at the different aircraft in the battle. We examine the Hurricane, the Spitfire, and the Messerschmitt Bf 109 in detail. We also look at some of the other aircraft. The Bf 110 and the Baltimore Defiant were both used in the battle, and the Junkers Ju-87 Stuka was a major problem for the British, as it was sent, along with heavier bombers, to attack shipping convoys and later airfields and cities. The Hurricane and Spitfire were from slightly different generations, and their origins were quite different too. But Hawker and Supermarine both had experience in creating great aircraft. Hawker had designed some of the defining biplane fighters of the 20s and 30s. Supermarine, meanwhile, designed prize-winning air racing aircraft. The Hurricane was the first of the two into production. Hawker began working on the aircraft in response to an Air Ministry request in 1930, and the aircraft first flew in 1935. The Hurricane's reputation has suffered in comparison to the more stylish-looking and much-loved Spitfire. However, 4/5 of enemy aircraft claimed by the RAF in the Battle of Britain were shot down by the Hurricane. The Mark I was partly constructed with wood and had a fabric covering, which soon became an old-fashioned construction method. Yet in other ways it was modern, with a retractable undercarriage and a closed cockpit, and of course the Merlin engine. Aircraft and engines were constantly being refined as a result of improved technology and experience in action. The Hurricane's cockpit was modified to make it easier to open for bailing out. At the height of the Battle of Britain, the Hurricane Mark II, with a Merlin 20 engine and a top speed of 342 miles per hour, began to appear. The Hurricane was more than just the elder sister of a more glamorous aeroplane. It was a more rugged aircraft, but was much loved by the pilots for its easy handling. It was also a sturdy platform for powerful armament. And, being based on proven technology rather than innovation, the Hurricane was easier to mass produce than the Supermarine Spitfire. At the same time as 600 Hurricanes were ordered in 1936, the Air Ministry placed an order for 310 Spitfires, which went into service in 1938. The Spitfire was lighter, faster, and more agile than the Hurricane, being based as it was on the Schneider Trophy winning aircraft of the 20s and 30s. In the air it was reputedly sensitive to even the lightest pressure on the control stick. However, it was more difficult to maintain, and its high canopy meant that it was difficult to control on the ground. The Spitfire was developed continuously in service, like the Hurricane. Later Marks were fitted with cannons to improve its offensive capability, but otherwise changes centred on the cockpit, providing more room for the pilot and improving the armour around the seat. The Messerschmitt Bf 109 was a more seasoned fighter than its British opponents, because it had been used by the Luftwaffe in action in the Spanish Civil War as well as in the conquest of Europe. It was designed by Willy Messerschmitt with the principle of placing the most powerful engine possible in the smallest airframe. The result was a very fast fighter, with a top speed of 357 miles per hour, which could outperform its British opponents in certain situations. It was faster in a dive, which is an important factor when evading other aircraft or attacking from above. The Bf 109 had a shorter range, though, than the Spitfire and Hurricane, and this disadvantage was severe because the Luftwaffe was operating from bases in continental Europe. British fighters had a greater endurance because they were fighting above their home and not far away from it. The most important characteristic of a fighter aircraft is, of course, the weaponry. Both the Hurricane and all but a handful of Spitfires were armed with 8.303-inch calibre Browning machine guns, four in each wing. The Bf 109, on the other hand, was fitted with two MG-17 7.92mm machine guns in the nose cowling above the engine and two MG-FF 20mm cannons, one in each wing. Each configuration had its benefits. The eight machine guns used by the RAF fighters meant that the aircraft could be configured with different cones of fire depending on the pilot's preferences. The guns could be zeroed in so that all eight streams hit the same point at a certain range, delivering a decisive punch. They could also deliver a broader range of fire, so that accuracy became less important. The bullets from the fighter would be covering a range which was metres wide, and the chances of even one stream of bullets hitting the enemy were good. Considering each aircraft could only carry enough ammunition for about 14 seconds continuous fire, this was important. However, the .303 bullet was certainly less than ideal for aerial combat. The small, solid shot would punch right through the target, often not doing very much damage. Unless an engine, a crew member, or a vital component was hit, most bullets would do little real harm to the aircraft. Another important factor to consider is the aerodynamics of the aircraft and their manoeuvrability. The Hurricane was perhaps the least streamlined, being the chunkiest of the three and also the heaviest. The Hurricane and the Bf 109 were both more conventional than the Spitfire in design. The elliptical wing of the Spitfire made it very special in several ways. Its shape meant that the wing was widest in the centre, where aerodynamically the most lift was generated. This made the elliptical wing more efficient than that of the Bf 109, which doesn't sound much but could make all the difference in manoeuvrability in a combat situation. The wing of the Spitfire also twists slightly along its length. This shifts the stall point on the wing along to the inner wing instead of the wingtips. The tips of the wings are where you control your aircraft, and so stalling there usually throws the aircraft out of control. By moving the stall point to the inner wing instead, the aircraft will shudder as it reaches stalling point, giving the pilot a chance to avert the stall before they lose control. Unfortunately, these modifications also meant that the wing of the Spitfire took 3 times longer to build than the Bf 109's. However, the wing of the Bf 109 had a potential disadvantage. Because the wing was so narrow, extendable slats were built into the leading edge, which were designed to pop out at lower speeds, increasing the width of the wing and thus the amount of lift, and making the control of the aircraft much easier when landing, for example. Unfortunately, these slats also had a tendency to pop out during tight turns, causing a jolt which could throw off the pilot's aim. Generally, though, all three aircraft are roughly comparable in turning and banking. Technically, with its superior wing, the Spitfire would outperform the others in level flight, but pilots of all three claim to have been able to outturn the other two. So much of this particular factor comes down to altitude, wear on the airframe, and the experience of the pilot that it is impossible to draw any hard conclusions. The last factor we must take into account is perhaps the most difficult to define: combat efficiency. These are the other factors that, while small in themselves, could make all the difference. For example, all three fighters had cramped cockpits with little room to move your head, a vital requirement in combat. The Spitfire, with its bulbous canopy, was by far the best in this respect, though, while the Bf 109 was the worst, with a tight, boxy canopy with thick metal spars. Meanwhile, of the three, the Hurricane could probably take the most punishment. The fabric rear fuselage made most damage to this area irrelevant, with the majority of bullets passing straight in one side and out the other. The Spitfire and Bf 109, though, had stressed metal skins. Any damage to this would weaken the aircraft significantly and be far more likely to force it down. All three suffered from the problem of having fuel tanks on the centre of gravity, which unfortunately meant right next to or underneath the cockpit. If the fuel tanks were hit, the pilot would have little chance of escaping the fire. So these are the technical factors we have to consider, and in most of them the Spitfire and the Bf 109 come out virtually even, with the slower Hurricane lagging a little behind. The Hurricane was of course still a very good and popular aircraft, but the speed issue let it down. And yet, as we've seen, the Hurricane can claim more kills than the Spitfire. There were twice as many Hurricanes as Spitfires in RAF service, and the Hurricanes also suffered a proportionally higher casualty rate. Then there was also the generally adopted tactic of sending the Hurricanes to tackle the bombers, arguably easier and certainly larger and slower targets, while the Spitfires tackled the smaller, faster and harder to hit enemy fighters. The Messerschmitt Bf 110 played some part in the Battle of Britain, but was not successful as a fighter in daylight against more agile aircraft. A large twin-engined aircraft, it was very powerfully armed. The C-4 variant had two cannons and four machine guns, as well as another gun in the rear cockpit. It was certainly a fast and powerful fighter, but not terribly successful in the Battle of Britain, where it was largely outperformed by RAF fighters. When the threat of war was being assessed, it was considered likely that bombers would attack Britain alone without a fighter escort. For this reason, a fighter with a gun turret was considered, and the Baltimore Defiant was a result of this Air Ministry specification. The Battle of Britain turned out to be very different, with fighters escorting bombers as well as making sweeps against the RAF in the air. In spite of having a Merlin engine, the Defiant was heavy and therefore no match for the agile Bf 109. The agility of the German fighter compensated even for the surprise element of the turret on the Defiant. Also, the turret was electrically operated, so if the aircraft's external systems were damaged, it would probably fail to work. The Luftwaffe employed dive bombers to attack convoys of shipping which resupplied Britain. Choking off this lifeline was crucial to the Nazis if they were to break the country down. The Junkers Ju-87 Stuka, named from the German word for dive bomber, was the main dive bomber used for this purpose. It had a fearsome reputation. Designed and built amid some secrecy, its origins predate the Nazis coming to power in 1933. Once they were in control, the development of the aircraft was stepped up. The Ju-87 B-2 introduced a semi-automated control system for the attack. It was a cruel weapon. Cruel obviously to the target, and doubly so because it was fitted with a siren, which gave it a terrifying wailing sound. It was also cruel to its pilots, because the G-forces involved in the dive to target, and even worse, the pullout after the attack, caused loss of vision as the blood drained away from their heads. Although the Stuka was responsible for the destruction of RAF bases, aircraft, convoys, and Royal Navy ships during the early stages of the battle, it wasn't ideal for its role. It was comparatively slow aircraft, and easy to destroy when confronted by pilots of Spitfires and Hurricanes, in what they called Stuka parties. The Stuka would have been more deadly if the RAF had been defeated, which of course was the entire objective of the battle. Perhaps the best indication of which was the best aircraft is what happened to them after the end of the battle. The Hurricane, though a solid and reliable aeroplane, was withdrawn from fighter operations in Europe by the end of 1941. Although it saw valuable service in the Middle and Far East. The Bf 109 went through several more developments and continued to be a mainstay of the German Air Force until the end of the war, but it became increasingly outclassed. The Spitfire, however, went from strength to strength. With a superbly designed airframe and even better engines, the Spitfire went through any number of modifications to make it suitable for different climates, for use on ships, for ground attack, and for photo reconnaissance. By adding and removing pieces in the wings and tail, and eventually upgrading the engine to the Rolls-Royce Griffon, the Spitfire remained one of the Allies' principal fighters right through to the end of the war, and afterwards. The Bf 110 and the Baltimore Defiant achieved some success as night fighters, but the Defiant was inferior to the Bristol Blenheim and certainly the de Havilland Mosquito, which was a very successful night fighter. In 1940, though, the main protagonists were fairly evenly matched. So much came down to the skill, experience, morale, determination, and tactics of the pilots on either side. And in the end, the RAF was able to inflict such heavy casualties on the German Air Force that they were forced to withdraw almost entirely from daylight operations over the United Kingdom.
That was a podcast from the Royal Air Force Museum's Battle of Britain series. If you would like to learn more about the history of the Battle of Britain, why not visit the museum's Battle of Britain Hall in London, which houses the world's most comprehensive collection of aircraft that fought in the battle. The hall is open daily from 12 noon to 6 p.m.